Okay, Hontu. Before I continue my talk, yesterday's talk, I'd like to share some inspiring story to boost up your effort. During Buddha's time, there was a lay person, very wealthy person, very successful in his business. So one day, so happened he came to listen to Buddha's Dharma talk. And Buddha talked about, you know, the danger of sensual pleasures and the disadvantage being a lay person. So after listening to this talk, then he thought to himself, he said, I am a lay person, which Buddha said that the life of lay person is subject to many defilements because there are so many impingements from the external sense object, and the mind easily get distracted and get distracted by external object. And also the wealth or the property we accumulate are not belong to us permanently. Maybe it will be taken away by government or by thief and so on. And all this gain, wealth, property are subject to strong attachment. And as a lay person, because of the worldly affair, then he thought to himself, I may not have enough time to meditate, to practice. And it's very difficult to be able to reborn, to listen to the precious teaching of the Buddha. So after due consideration, then he decided to give away all his wealth and property and became monk. So he gave away all with open hand. Then he ordained as a monk and he resided. He stayed in the forest alone, stay in solitude. So every day he worked very hard. And every night, most of the night, he didn't sleep at all. If a person don't want to spend his night sleeping, most of the monk will not sit either. Why? Because sitting produces sleepiness. So in order to overcome the sleepiness, he walked the whole night to and fro in a short distance, this distance to that, to and fro, walk the whole night. And because he has very good upbringing, his skin is very delicate. So his soul started to bleeding. So it's so much pain from the sole of the feet, then cannot walk anymore. What to do? If you were him, what will you do? Crawl. exactly. So he started to crawling meditation. So he crawled to and fro. And at that time, there was a hunter. In the darkness, the hunter coming out to hunt the animals and saw an object crawling in the bushes. So he thought it was an animal. So he threw a spear to this crawling object. And this spear pierced his back and stuck there. Even then, he did not care about this deadly pain. He did not care, continued to growling. Then this hunter finally discovered he's not an animal, but a living person, a practicing monk. So he feels so sorry, and he tried to took up the spear and heal his wound. So this is how ancient monk practice. we relate this story in order to inspire you. no need to go to sleep so early. Okay, some people before 9:30 they go to sleep already. You want to listen some more this inspiring story? I can give you one more. Okay, there was a wealthy man as well. After listening to Buddha's talk, he was very inspired, and he felt that as a lay person, I don't have time to strive. You know, you are a lay person. Most of your time, you focus your mind on your business, right? Only few times to meditate. Then how can break through? Not possible. So he decided to. Yeah, it's very difficult to get to listen to Buddha's teaching. You know, I'm not going to waste my precious human life just to earn money. So he dropped his job and gave away all his property to his brother. Then he became a monk. Stay alone in the forest, stay in the solitude, and working very hard. So after some time, a robber suddenly appeared in front of him. And the robber talked to him, told him, "I want to kill you." And this monk was very surprised. "I have nothing, right? The only thing I have is bow and rope. Why you want to kill me?" He said that. Then the robber said that, "Your sister-in-law hide me to kill you because she thought you are so delicate. After some time, you may not be able to live as a monk. And when you disrobe, you may take back your property. So to prevent this, she hired me to kill you." And this monk was feel a lot of spiritual urgency. You know? Then he told to the robber, "Can you give me one more night?" Then the robber say, "How can it possible? You may run away, you know. If you run away, then I cannot fulfill my purpose." Then the monk say, "Okay, I will give you guarantee that I will not run away." So he took a rock, big rock, and break both of his knees. Then he told to the robber, "Is this guaranteed enough for you to spare me one more night?" Then the robber also very touched. He was very touched. "Okay, I spare you one more night." Then after that, the monk reflect his plight, his misery, then put aside the pain. His mind did not dwell in the pain, ignore the pain, and practice insight meditation. He said, "I have only one more night. If I do not achieve my goal, I'm not satisfied to die as a person with lots of defilements in my mind." So he strive very hard, disregard his pain, and strive insight meditation. Before dawn, he attained his cherished goal, arahantship. So now, even a robber want to kill him. "Okay, good, release for me." Because I'm not going to take any rebirth anymore, right? So death to me is excellent, fine. So this is how the ancient monk practice. So you should treat today is my last day. I may not live tomorrow, so I have to exert effort just for today. I don't know what will happen tomorrow, right? When you walk in the forest, something may happen to you, then you may get injured or you may get an accident that you cannot practice anymore. So when you reflect that, then it gives you a sense of urgency that you have to try every time, every moment. All the time keeping your mind with the breath, then you are safe. Even you die during the process, you are bound to reborn in heaven. There's no worry for you. This is called attapi. Attapi means ardent. Huh? You have strong effort, ardent striving. Doesn't mean that you have to sit 8 hours, 10 hours. No, but applied, persistent, continuous effort on your breath, whatever you do, whatever you do, keep your attention on the breath. Then your mindfulness is continuous. When your mindfulness is continuous, then concentration develops. This is how you can achieve in this retreat. Okay, so I think enough to boost up your energy. Okay, let's continue the yesterday's talk. Just such an inspiring talk is very important, because in my first opening talk, I already said, if you have the chance, if you get to hear all this inspiring talk very often, then a monk pursuing mindfulness of breathing in no long time will penetrate into unshakable. Therefore, every day I must think one story to inspire you. Okay, so tomorrow I will continue the talk yesterday. Yesterday I mentioned the third benefit for concentration. There is concentration, development of concentration leads to mindfulness and clear comprehension. How? Buddha say, when feeling arises, he knows. When feeling persists, he knows. And when feeling passes away, he knows. Then Buddha mentioned again, when thought arises, he knows. When the thought persists, he knows. When thought disappears, he knows. This thought, there are various type of thoughts. Some of the thought is associated with greed, some with anger, some with irritation, some with jealousy, some with restlessness, just mere restlessness. So any thoughts that arise in you, if you have concentration, immediately you know it. You know it. If you do not know it, what happened? What happened to you if you do not know? Yeah, you will be carried away by that thought. Then you keep on indulging in that thoughts. When you indulge in that thoughts, you make the thought real. This is very important. You make the thought real. Thought is just a thought. It's an illusion. It's a projection of the mind. It's an image. It's an illusion. But when you indulge in it, when you are carried away by it, you make it real. When you make it real, you react to it. You react to that thought. When you react to that thought, you perform unwholesome or unskillful karma. They pave the way to unwholesome effect. I'm used to observe my thoughts. I'm more skillful in observing my thought rather than my bodily sensation. So as I keep on noticing my thought, many times I feel that this thought is so unreal. The moment you see it, it persists a little bit, then it disappears. But if I'm not mindful of my thought, then there's a thought arising, then I'm not mindful, then I think it's real, then I react to it. And later on, I find out I was cheated. I find out I was cheated by my thought. What a foolish. Therefore, when you have concentration, you know whatever thoughts, wholesome, unwholesome, that arise in you, immediately you know it. And if it's unwholesome thought, exert your effort to remove it. Don't let it gain the momentum to overwhelm you. When the unwholesome thought gain the momentum, then it's very difficult for you to abandon it already. Therefore, you need precise mindfulness that come from concentration. Precise mindfulness to know the thought has arisen. Then mentally, if you can add in contemplation, it is impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Sometimes just mindful is not enough. You're mindful of your thought. For example, the thought associated with anger. Then you're mindful, just mindful, not enough. You still will be carried away by the anger. Therefore, in order to protect yourself, not to be carried away by the anger, mentally contemplate impermanent. Anger is impermanent, 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 impermanent. This is very effective way to overcome the corruption thought or defilements. Many people reported to me when they try to contemplate impermanent of this anger, soon they find it passes away very fast. Even they practice only for one day, they see the effect. They see the effect. Therefore, yesterday you asked me how to overcome that. The way to overcome it is to contemplate impermanent. When you do not contemplate impermanent, the impermanent, the characteristic of impermanent of anger is concealed by continuity. This very important statement. I repeat. If you do not contemplate impermanent, the characteristic of impermanent of that anger. Whatever phenomena is impermanent, right? So anger is also impermanent. But because you do not contemplate impermanent, so the impermanent nature of that anger is concealed by continuity. Therefore, you are stuck. But when you contemplate impermanent, just mentally note it. Mentally say it, impermanent, 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 for beginners. Later on, you don't have to say like that. Later on, when you see it, it passed away already. So when you contemplate it as impermanent, 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 then the continuity of anger is broken. So you see the gap. There's gap. The anger is not like that. It's a gap in between. So when you see the gap, then you see it arises, passes away, it's the gap. Passing away is the gap. Then maybe re-arises, then passes away. That gap is called passing away, which is also impermanent. Okay, so only with concentration you will see. Whatever thoughts that arise, that persist, that passes away. If you don't have that sustained concentration and mindfulness, you only see anger arise, never see it passes away. So you think anger is overwhelming you, because you never see it passes away. Why you cannot see it passes away? Because you do not contemplate impermanent, therefore the continuity of anger is there. When you contemplate impermanent, then the continuity of anger is broken. Okay. So this is the benefit of develop concentration in order to lead to mindfulness and clear comprehension. Anger is only one example. All the defilements that arise in your thought, including your frustration, depression, sorrow, anxiety, worry, especially anxiety, worry, and fear. All these are unreal, not real one. It's your projection of your mind. Huh? For example, worry. You think of something, then you start to worry. Is that worrying help you to solve the thing? Yes or no? Huh? You worry something, but you sit here worrying. Will that problem get solved or not? Definitely no. Then why you waste your time worry? It's just habit of the mind, right? And you think it's real, then you are not mindful that you are worrying, that which cannot help you at all. Then drop it. Know it. Worry is unreal. It's the projection of my mind. Then drop it. Then when you go back, then try to solve the problem. If cannot be solved, then let it be. Right? So worrying is, for most people, I feel that they live, they spend a lot of time worrying things which has not yet occurred. many meditators, many people told me that. Then I directly point out to you are worrying something which has not yet happened. That cannot help you at all. What? So wait until thing unfold itself. If you can do something, you do something to solve. If you cannot, then let it be. Okay, so don't stuck in the fear, anxiety, and worry. All these are illusion of the mind, not real one. You make it real. You keep on indulging in it, you make it real. Then you really feel worry. The more you worry, the more you lose your mindfulness. Okay, so this is the third benefit. The fourth benefit. The development of concentration leads to destruction of the taints. Leads to destruction of the taints, which is our final goal. How? Buddha said, a bhikkhu dwells contemplating, arising, and passing away in five aggregates of in the five aggregates subject to clinging. So what are the five aggregates? First is materiality or form. Form. In this case, when you are practicing mindfulness of breathing, what is the form aggregate?
Breath.
Breath. Yeah, breath. But you may say, breath is concept. Yes, breath is concept. In the ultimate sense, breath consists of four elements. But because we are practicing mindfulness of breathing, we do not pay the sensation of the breath. We only pay concept of in-breath and out-breath. So form. Breathing in, breath is form aggregate. So breathing in, finished, impermanent. Breathing out, up to the end, our breath finished, passing away. Then another new breathing in. This new breathing in is not the same as just now, previous one. It's a new one. So new breathing in, up to the end, passing away. New breathing out, up to the end, passing away. So you keep on noticing in this way, you will see the impermanence of the form. It's arising, beginning, up to the end. End is the passing away. Then breathing out, beginning is arising, up to the end of the out breath is passing away. So you contemplate arising and passing away of form. This is what Buddha instructed. Okay. And the second aggregate is feeling, feeling aggregate. When you breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, you feel pleasant sensation. That is feeling, pleasant feeling. So in Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha said, mindfully, Buddha said, breathing in, breathing out, I experience feeling, or I experience pleasant, happiness, feeling. Huh? Happiness is one type of feeling, pleasant feeling. So breathing in, breathing out, I experience feeling. Breathing in, breathing out, I experience feeling. So this is what mentioned, stated in Anapanasati Sutta. So how to practice? So when you're breathing in, breathing out, you contemplate the feeling. This feeling also arising and passing away, arising and passing away. Now we are moving from concentration to insight meditation, the destruction of the taint. So now we are no more in concentration. Yeah? Concentration alone cannot become arahant. After concentration, you have to move to insight meditation. So now I'm telling you how to move to insight meditation. Okay, so breathing in, I experience the pleasant feeling. Breathing out, I experience the pleasant feeling. So while breathing in, breathing out, you don't pay attention to the breath anymore, but you pay attention to the pleasant feeling and experience the arising, passing away, or impermanent of that feeling. This is the instruction of the Buddha. So a monk contemplating arising and passing away of feeling aggregate. Okay. The third aggregate is perception. Perception, when you breathe in, breathe out, he contemplates the arising and passing away of perception. What is this perception? Perception perceives the in, the long and short of the breath. Sometimes the breath is long. The perception perceives it. It's not you perceive it. It's the work of perception. Perception perceives it long, it's long, and it's short. Then it's calm. So the perception perceives it. And this perception is also impermanent. But now we cannot see the impermanence of perception. Why? Because we do not pay attention to impermanent. Because we do not contemplate impermanent, therefore the perception is, the impermanence of perception is concealed by continuity. Therefore, you have to contemplate perception impermanent. Perception is impermanent. Only then the continuity of perception will be broken up, broken down. Then you will see perception is arising one after another. It's not a strict continuity. It's arising and passing away, arising and passing away. Therefore, Buddha instructs a monk, while mindfully breathing in and breathing out, he contemplate impermanence of perception aggregate. The third one, formation aggregate. Formation aggregate has volition as the head. Formation aggregate include many mental factors. For example, mindfulness is also formation aggregate. Concentration is also formation aggregate. Mindfulness is not a self. Mindfulness is not a self. Concentration is not a self. Perception is not a self. Then, application of the mind is not a self. Happiness is not a self. All these are under formation aggregates. And the head, the leader of the formation aggregate is volition. So in this case, when you are breathing in and breathing out, what is this volition? Volition act upon the breath. Volition act upon the breath. And this time, at this time, when you are mindful of the breath, you accumulate very higher wholesomeness. Buddha said when you practice concentration, it's called higher consciousness. Adicitta. Adicitta means higher consciousness. As Buddha said already, concentration practice is not for low person. It's not for ordinary person. It's not for low person. You need strong energy, ardent energy, and it's called adicitta, higher consciousness. So when you're practicing, concentration, you are accumulating higher wholesomeness. Not like giving, generosity, or morality. That is not called higher consciousness. But concentration, when you're practicing concentration, this is called higher consciousness. Higher than ordinary. Therefore, since it's higher consciousness, it is higher wholesomeness. And it has to be practiced with respect. It has to be practiced with respect, not carelessly. So when you contemplate this perception, volition, arising and vanishing, arising and passing away of that volition. Okay. As mindfully he breathes in, breathes out, then he contemplates that volition as impermanent. Okay. The fifth one is consciousness aggregate. Consciousness is cognize the breath, or know the breath. So consciousness know the in-breath, out-breath. Then yogi have to pay attention to the impermanent of the consciousness. If the attention of impermanent is not given, then the consciousness is concealed. The consciousness is concealed by continuity. Only when you pay attention to impermanent, you will see the arising and passing away of that consciousness. I keep on stress this point so that it can go into your consciousness. Okay? You see Buddha's text always repeat, because Buddha know we all have short memory. We need to repeat again and again so that it stick to your consciousness. In the same way, I keep on repeating. You must pay attention to the impermanent so that the nature of impermanence will be revealed. So then in Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha said, mindfully he breathes in, breathes out. Breathing in, breathing out, he contemplates passing away. Breathing in, breathing out, he contemplates impermanent. Breathing in, breathing out, he contemplates relinquishment. Breathing in, breathing out, he contemplates cessation. Of what? Of these five aggregates. Form, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. Only then. When a yogi start to see impermanence, sabbe sankhara anicca, all formations are impermanent. When a person sees with insight, sabbe sankhara anicca ti yatha panyaya passati, when a yogi see with insight, then he feel disenchanted with ill. Atanimindati dukkhe e samago visuddhiya. He is disenchanted with ill. That is the path to purity. So only by seeing impermanent arising and passing away, then you feel the oppression of being oppression by constantly arising and passing away, then you feel disenchanted. Dispassion. This is the path to purification. Then once you feel disenchanted, then you let go the dispassion. When you become dispassionate, the mind is not agitated anymore. When there's no agitation, Buddha said, you personally attain Nibbana. So this is the destruction of the taint. And in another sutta, the sutta Anguttara Nikaya, Buddha said, after emerging from the first jhana, from the concentration, then he contemplate impermanent. He contemplate impermanent, and if he is firm in it, if he is firm in it, mean if he is firm in this impermanent of all formations, and he contemplate concentration is also impermanent. First jhana is also impermanent. Second jhana is also impermanent. So whatever, and this jhana concentration is produced by volition. It's constructed. Concentration is constructed. It's produced by volition. And whatever is constructed, produced by volition, is subject to change. It is impermanent. It leads to destruction. So it is finally lead to cessation. So if he is firm in it, firm in this, all formations are impermanent, are subject to change, and he does not delight in concentration. He does not delight in concentration, and he has conviction that all phenomena finally lead to cessation, then he will attain the destruction of the taints. This is given in Anguttara Nikaya of Book of 11. So this is how the development of concentration. Let me summarize. The development of concentration lead to first, pleasant abiding here and now. Second, psychic power. Third, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Fourth, destruction of the taints. So you see, this is not an easy task. Concentration, therefore Buddha say, concentration is not for small effort. It's a great task that to be carried out with great effort, with due respect. Only then you will achieve your goal. Okay, thank you. Any questions?